Network's Wendy King has the details.
The decision would permit the use of endangered species parts for medical and scientific use. The conservation group World Wildlife Fund said the policy would have adverse effects in protecting the animals, which was approved in 1993 amid an international drive to protect threatened wildlife. The decision comes at a time when wildlife parts continue to be trafficked in Chinese territory. The Hong Kong Standard reported last week that a rhino horn smuggler was sentenced to 8 months in prison for bringing nearly 7 pounds of rhino horns into Hong Kong from Mozambique. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The city of Boston celebrated the Red Sox winning a World Series today with a parade. Upwards of 500,000 people were at the parade in downtown Boston. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Retired U.S. Army four-star General Stanley McChrystal served our country for 34 years. General McChrystal has a new book out titled Leaders, Myth and Reality. I had a chance to sit down and chat with McChrystal, and one of the things I asked him was some of the different challenges that leaders may face now than they did 10 or 15 years ago.
I think it's extraordinarily more complex than it's ever been. And so what happens is leaders often confuse celebrity with leadership, or, you know, having a mouthpiece for real leadership. And so what they can do is they can reach a lot of followers. They can get people to respond a certain way in anger or joy or that sort of thing. And that is a form of leadership, and I wouldn't deny it. That is getting a connection with people and causing a reaction, almost a chemical-like reaction. But real leadership, or let me put it this way, leadership that I think is truly effective is sustainable over time. It builds other leaders. It develops in populations or groups a set of values, a set of sustainable, consistent commitment to something. And I think that that is sometimes missing in today's society.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1864 when the state of Nevada became the 36th state in the Union. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Out of business, here's Anthony Lucero. The chain that was once the biggest sporting goods retailer in the country says it will be closing all 450 of its stores. When Sports Authority first filed for bankruptcy back in March, they said they would close 140 stores while they worked with creditors and lenders. The company says in a new bankruptcy filing that it has not been able to find a buyer for its remaining stores. I'm Anthony Lucero.
And this is USA Radio News.
And good afternoon and welcome to a new edition of Design for the Times. I'm very happy to have somebody in studio that I was introduced by somebody who used to work here a long time ago. Her name is Laura Mary. Lovely, lovely lady. And I miss seeing her every Wednesday from 2 to 3. That was sort of a bright spot in my day. And I hope she is listening. But she left me with a gift, and that gift is my guest today. And her name is Jackie Melcher. Hope I'm pronouncing that correct. And she does something very interesting, and I think these days very topical. She designs and does beautiful, beautiful closets. And if you're following me on social media, you'll see I posted some kind of a glamorous closet picture both on Instagram and on my Facebook page, the Richard Scuderi page, and also the page for our program, Modern Design on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Well, welcome to our show, Jackie.
Well, thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? First, you know, are you a native of Hunterdon County? How did you come out to this area? And then a little bit how you got involved in closets.
Well, actually, I'm Somerset.
Okay.
But very close by, very close neighbor.
Sure.
Originally Bergen Countyite, but moved to Somerset 30 years ago.
So okay.
Central Jersey's home now.
How did you get involved with the... You know, Central Jersey's kind of a funny thing before I say that, because it's very relative of what people call North Jersey,
right.
Central Jersey, and Southern Jersey. So I grew up in true Central New Jersey, in Middlesex County, and when I graduated college, I decided to move to Bedminster, so I lived there first in Somerset County for years. And I didn't consider that North Jersey, but most people say, oh, that's North Jersey. Now I'm in Hunterdon, people say you're in North Jersey. So it's all kind of relative, right?
It is, yeah.
I always think of this all as West anyway. I don't know why. Anyway, so tell us how you got involved in the closet business, and how did that evolve? Did you start with design, or give us a little bit of background about yourself?
Well, my background was working for AT&T, like many people in this area back in the day. That was the big employer.
Sure.
And...
Were you in Bedminster or Bernardsville?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So one day I was still working at AT&T, but I stood in my closet and I said, I'm wasting all this space. I have
sure.
these ball gowns that are dragging on the floor
mm-hmm.
and skirts that are leaving all this space. So I actually had my son, I measured my clothes. I had him put new poles and move things around.
Mm-hmm.
So that was long before I started my company.
So it was just that you thought it was an inefficient space.
Correct.
And you decided to sort of just maybe, did you draw something for him? How did you articulate that you wanted to move things around a little bit?
I was so naive back then. I just had him add another pole and shelf just the way closets were done.
Right.
Then. But he
right.
did also actually construct some drawers for me because I had a space that was not being used.
Why do you think that people didn't in the past? Now, homes started out relatively small, right? Some people moved out to the cities to first suburbs. Those houses were kind of small. People didn't really take, you know, advantage of storage, I think, very well.
Well, they didn't have that many clothes.
Right. You know, that's a big part of it, right? Now we have 6-car garages because people
right.
have multiple cars.
Right.
People probably do have more clothes now than they did before.
Well, and if they did have clothes, they had servants, and the servants brought the clothes to them. They didn't need a closet.
Right. But not everybody had servants.
Well, I'm saying back if you had clothes. If
sure.
you didn't have servants, you didn't have clothes.
Somebody to dress you and so
right.
on. Well, that's very true. We are lucky. We are broadcasting. I'm watching here that we are broadcasting our show. There's something down in the system, so I'm going to navigate through this. Our sound is slightly off, I can hear today, but we are transmitting, which is a good thing. So, Jackie, so you were working for AT&T, and then how did that evolve, and how long ago did you make a switch?
Well, we'll be starting our 17th year of
wow.
My company on November 1st.
Uh-huh.
And so I had left AT&T, went back as a contractor doing project management. They
mm-hmm.
said, we don't need project managers anymore.
So. Yeah, welcome to the new days, right?
Right. There. So I was looking for something to do, and I thought, well, it's time to... put my vision into practice.
Right, right. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So how do you get started in a business like that where you don't have experience, you don't have training, right, per se? You didn't go to design school, just you have a sensibility, correct?
Correct, correct.
So what gave you the bravery to make a life change and to start in a closet business?
Well, I needed to do something, mm-hmm. and I did have people who were supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew somebody who lived in Florida who had just started a company. So I went down there, and my son at the time had the time to go with me. So he learned the manufacturing. I learned the design in a week, and we came back and did it.
So the person that taught you about closets, were they part of a franchise, or were they doing it sort of as a grassroots startup type of a thing themselves?
They had been with a franchise, and they had broken off on their own.
Okay, so they had the history.
Correct.
I'm going to be moving the mic a little bit too because of the camera here on the phone. So so they had the history of being with eventually a competitor, but somebody that it was in the
right.
industry, so they got a feel for closets.
Right.
I think when I started this is my 21st year, and when I first started in the design industry, closets were not that sophisticated. And a few closet companies, the name brands, you probably still remember some of the early names, they weren't great at it, were they?
Not really.
There was a lot of wasted space, right? It was more about the concept and not about the functionality. And I think people have gotten better with taking a space, which is basically what's a closet. It's sort of a cube, right? And really utilizing the entire cube, height, depth, and doing things probably smarter. So you went down to Florida and with your son, I guess, because your son did the building. Does your son still do the building of the closets?
No. He never was really involved. He just had the time to go with me to learn.
Right.
And we just came up and ordered all the equipment. I wanted to do my own manufacturing
mm-hmm.
because I wanted the control over right. that.
Well, let's talk about that because I think a lot of people out there have made life changes because life has changed itself so much. So people are no longer employed by a big company anymore, and they have to reinvent themselves. How does someone, start? Did you start out of your house?
No, I rented space. I thought if I was going to do it, I was going to
do it right. So how does someone you had an idea that you liked, right? You had somebody to give you a little bit of a guidance. Where did you open your first store?
Well, we started out in Raritan Borough, which is Somerset. And
right.
Now we've been in Bridgewater for 12 years on Chimney Rock Road.
Right.
And we needed a little more space than what we had there.
Right. So when you started out in Raritan, did you start with a sort of a storefront so you could meet people? Or did you get a space where you could physically manufacture the cabinets?
Well, actually both.
Okay.
The important thing was to manufacture, because even today, most people never come to the showroom.
They don't.
Beautiful showroom.
So you go to them?
We go to them. Mm-hmm. They've been to the website.
Right.
We design. We show them a 3D picture.
Mm-hmm.
And customers today are pretty...
savvy.
Yes.
Savvy, definitely. All right, we're going to go to our first set of commercial messages. A lot to talk about. I'm with Jackie Melcher. The name of your company again?
It's Sophisticated Storage Solutions.
SSS.
SSS Custom Closets.
Custom Closets. That's not easy to say. Sophisticated Storage Solutions. Good thing I don't have a list, but that's good. All right, so we're going to do some commercial messages, and we'll be right back with more of our show. Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, home stager, and realtor for the past 21 years working on wonderful projects in the tri-state area, residential and commercial. Kind of have a fun commercial project that I'm working on right now in New Providence, New Jersey. Picking up some sort of a motor there, okay. And New Providence, New Jersey, I'm taking a former very large Chinese restaurant had been there for 30 years, and we're doing a new concept. We're doing a very upscale bar and grill and sort of gutting some of the core of the inside. And one of the things that I did was kind of funny. I don't know. Are you on Facebook a lot, Jackie?
Yes.
So I discovered something called Facebook Marketplace, and that's where people buy things, sometimes new, sometimes secondhand. So when I took on this project, in front of me were these six-foot foo dogs. Are you familiar with what a foo dog is? Yeah. Chinese foo dog?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Looks
yes.
sort of like a dog, but like a lion.
Yes. If you want.
So I have two five-and-a-half, six-foot foo dogs, and I'm trying to create a new concept. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to put them on Marketplace, these huge foo dogs. And I tell you, I just recently got rid of them, and I kind of grew attached to these things because I saw them when we were doing the demo on the place in there. They disappeared. There is something for everybody. Everybody has a different taste, right?
Right.
Now, I would imagine that's how closets work. Everybody has very, very different tastes.
Yes, they do.
And adapting to that is probably something that maybe takes a little bit of time and patience.
Yes, you need to understand what the customer is looking for.
I always said as an interior designer, and people don't get this. They say, how do you do something when it's not your taste? I said, that's not really how it works. How it works is, if you're good at what you do, you take notes and you listen. You do a house visit. You see how the architectures of somebody's home is, what their needs are. Sometimes they don't even know what they want, but there are subtle clues normally in their circumstances that lead you to believe of what they want. So when you listen, you act as a catalyst to give them their wishes. And I'm very sure that's what you do. You listen, you see what the need is, you see what the space is, and then you're a catalyst to pursue what their dreams are, I would imagine.
Right.
Were you very scared about opening a commercial, a retail space? And I'm sure it was a good amount of square footage if you were assembling the closets and taking on that risk?
Surprisingly, I was not.
No, it doesn't sound like you were. You're not a panic person, are you?
No. But I did think that at that moment in time, closets were going to be explosive, which
sure.
really did not happen.
So 17 years, that would...
now.
Yeah, yeah. No. So what year was that?
That was 2002.
Yeah. See, 2002 were terrific economic times. People were growing. They were going further west. In our tri-state area, they were expanding. They wanted bigger spaces. So it would make sense that closets are something that would develop. So do you think people were fearful initially about price?
It's change. People are afraid of change.
And that's interesting.
And even now, mm-hmm. People need a catalyst to make that change.
Change.
They need to be moving. They need to be buying a new house, expanding their bedroom. So very few people just all of a sudden one day decide that existing closets need.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So it's predicated on a change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would think that in your industry, because here's what I see happening. 20 years ago, I think our country was on the upswing, and people were going further west, newer houses, bigger profiles, and so on. Times have changed, and I see people going further east. They're going the other direction. They're going to the original centers, and they're reinventing smaller spaces. I have a job that I'm working on right now, a couple who had a wonderful house that they built probably in the 70s, early 80s, a big house in Mountain Lakes, decided they wanted to go back into a city environment, and now they're in Morristown in a 1950s mid-century modern house, a much smaller house, and they're reinventing the space. So for them, redoing the closets are essential because they live. In fact, they took one of their small bedrooms that they weren't going to use because they're just
yes.
a couple with no children, and they created a closet space because I think that's how people live now.
And we see that more and more, that people take over a bedroom. And
sure.
Not even with no children. People buying a new house
sure.
will designate a bedroom as a
closet.
Dressing room.
Yeah. So I think because people are adapting or more comfortable with smaller spaces, you know, most of my business these days, and I shouldn't say that it's not a woe is me or a terrible world, but a lot of my clients are downsizing. So closets to me in a smaller space are essential. So I would imagine your business is growing in that way because I think people with television programs, design television programs, and I have one of them myself, which we're going to do later this afternoon, and with the internet and Pinterest and all these different outlets, house and so on, people are seeing beautiful things in closets and they're getting interested in those spaces, don't you think?
Yes.
So you said in 2002 when you started, how did you get, you know, how did you get clients? What did you do in the beginning? Because I would imagine your business is, you're not dealing with commercial, it's not business to business. It's now you're used to business with AT&T. Now your business, right. Now your business with the public. Wasn't that hard to get used to?
It was hard. Mm. And the one thing I didn't realize back then is you need a new client all the time.
Sure, exactly.
I mean, there's some repeat, but basically their closets are done. You need to go find someone else.
Take us through the process specifically when you first started in the business and you got your space set up and you wanted to let people know that you were selling custom closets. What did you do to attract customers in the beginning?
The internet was not really
right. In 2002, it wasn't big yet.
So in some ways, it was better because we did paper advertising. People read the paper. People read magazines. And they read their ValPak or Money Mailer or something. So we did those things.
And what was the driving force in 2002 to have you come in to look at a closet? Is because they just were out of space then? Or they wanted better use of the space?
Better use of their space.
And in 2002, were most of the houses you went to new construction houses or just people that had moved?
I think in 2002, it was actually more people in their current space improving it.
Improving their current space.
And not so much that anymore as, like I said, the catalyst.
At the time. Maybe that's also because times were just better financially than it. People were more confident about spending money on their homes.
We're not going to talk about 2008, right?
No. A little bit. So, but there's a lot of good lessons that came down to 2008. So that's part of the whole, I think, big picture of life. You learn from things. And there are some people that were savvy that made a lot of money in 2008. I wasn't one of them, but there were some people that did do that. So it's important to know our history, I think, as well, especially in what we do for a living. So you started off and you go to people's houses and you sell them on a closet. What's the lead time? Let's say I have a master bedroom closet. I can't expand it, but I'd like to have better use of space. If I were to come visit to you, what's the process? Do you draw something? When you come, you physically go out or you send somebody out to the home?
I mostly send other people.
Okay.
But right now we're short a designer, so
okay.
I'm going out more than I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
But from the beginning, we used a 3D drawing program.
Okay.
Which set us apart.
Oh, yeah, from the beginning.
Set us
so you were ahead of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now everyone is doing that.
Yeah, but back then they really weren't.
And I can't draw, so it was necessary.
So someone would go out, they'd have a wish list.
We will go out, we will draw, and we will price it, and we will tell you everything right then and there.
So typically you have a price at the end of the visit?
If it's not complicated.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then let's say they say, okay, we think about it. They give you a call back in a couple of days. They say, okay, Jackie, let's go for it. What would be the process from there?
Well, it would depend if we stock certain types of drawers and things. So
sure.
If we have everything in stock and we have the availability, we can come tomorrow. But
you just have to have the pieces.
We have to have the pieces and not something else scheduled for tomorrow.
Exactly.
But we manufacture very quickly.
Mm.
And if it requires us ordering doors and drawers and special things like glass doors take longer and pencil
sure.
glaze takes longer.
But you're not waiting months. This is
no.
fast.
No,
this
no,
is a fast turnaround.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the style of closets because I think that's probably changed a lot. Let's talk about in 2002, 2003, that sort of time up to probably about 2007. Were people doing closets that did they want to bring stained wood in? Do they want it to look like cherry or mahogany? Or was white always the predominant look of a closet?
I would say back then we actually did more wood tones, and now we're doing more white.
White, yeah. I would just say it would be in line with like kitchen cabinets.
Right.
So where we saw a lot of cherry and a lot of maple, I would think people wanted to carry that same cherry and maple from their kitchen if they liked that look into the space.
The big difference is we now have many, many, many options.
Sure.
We used to only have about six or eight.
Wow.
So it's difficult for people to decide.
Now, your materials, are they synthetic? Are they wood? Are they composite? Sometimes composite is best because it has the most durability.
Yes, it's furniture grade particle board with melamine fused onto it.
Right.
And every closet company is using the same material.
But I would imagine there's strength in that.
Yes.
There's durability,
yes.
and it doesn't really have much maintenance. It's easy to take care of.
And if they want wood, it's going to be five times the price.
Oh, absolutely. And what would be the point of that?
Well,
right?
Some people think there is. But we also have done hybrid closets where we do melamine for the structure of it and wood painted doors.
Right.
Drawers.
Exactly.
So it gives them that little look.
That look and so on. So, I remember in the early closets, when I'm envisioning them in the early 2000s, like wood, a similar look, lots of cherry, lots of maple, very rich, more of a masculine feel. I did a closet for a lovely lady who had gotten divorced and she moved from Hillsborough to Bedminster, and we had worked out a closet at the time. Sorry, I didn't know you at the time. And, had all the materials together, and it was going to be a maple, sort of a dark maple, but a maple, but rich. And her mother called in on the phone. She goes, "You're a lady. You should have a white closet." And that one phone call changed everything, and we ordered everything in white. And then I sort of prettied it up a little bit, and I think we did a pale sort of silvery blue-gray on the walls and sort of slightly feminized it. I would imagine many of the people that come to you for closets are typically women.
They are, but the men are on board these days.
It's
definitely changed.
Right. But even in those days, I think the women probably went more toward the wood tones.
I think back then they did.
And don't you think that's also because I probably up until about even 2010, but towards about 2007 or 8, people were still much more traditional, especially in our area. The style of furnishings in general were traditional. And I say something fun about that. I do some speaking engagements on design and change and evolution. And what I attribute that to is that starting in the 90s, when the internet started to come to be, the late 90s and the 2000s, there was a lot of new wealth created. And people at that time wanted to have staid wealth and the look of that, of traditionalism. So a lot of the houses were very, very traditional. And we saw jewel tones and burgundies and golds and sages and very rich colors and carved wood and very, very traditional very, very traditional look in homes. And I think closets just followed suit on that.
Right. And I think people were thinking furniture. From
right.
From drawers, it's furniture.
Furniture, so. Exactly. Is it a good or is it a bad thing to have a window in a closet? I feel funny about this, and people have very different views when it comes to having a window in a closet.
Well, it's fabulous for looking at colors of your clothing.
I never thought of that, of the natural light would be a good thing.
Yes.
I always thought it would probably be a bad thing because you are exposing everything to light.
Well, we can design it so that there's not so much exposure.
Sure.
So it depends on the size of the closet,
right.
What we can do. Sometimes it's very nice having a little window seat underneath.
Yeah.
So there are things you can do, put shelving rather than hanging.
Definitely. All right, we're going to take a quick news break. We're just at the half. We have a lot to talk about. I'm going to open up our phone lines. So if anybody has questions about closets, they can call in. And then we'll be back with lots more of our show.
USA Radio News.
Turkey's chief prosecutor said journalist Jamal Khashoggi was strangled as soon as he entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, and his body was then cut into pieces in a premeditated plan. Defense Secretary James Mattis said, "We're working on getting to the bottom of this."
Turkey has so far provided evidence for every allegation that they have made about what happened, and so no one nation controls all the information. And I spoke to the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia 2 days ago in Manama, and he said there would be a full investigation.
President Trump continued his push to end birthright citizenship on Wednesday, saying the 14th Amendment does not guarantee citizenship of undocumented immigrants. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline.
Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
China is reversing a 25-year ban on the trade and use of rhino horn and tiger bones, which will hamper international conservation efforts. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the details.
The decision would permit the use of endangered species parts for medical and scientific use. The conservation group World Wildlife Fund said the policy would have adverse effects in protecting the animals, which was approved in 1993 amid an international drive to protect threatened wildlife. The decision comes at a time when wildlife parts continue to be trafficked in Chinese territory. The Hong Kong Standard reported last week that a rhino horn smuggler was sentenced to 8 months in prison for bringing nearly 7 pounds of rhino horns into Hong Kong from Mozambique. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The city of Boston celebrated the Red Sox winning a World Series today with a parade. Upwards of 500,000 people were at the parade in downtown Boston. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Retired U.S. Army four-star General Stanley McChrystal served our country for 34 years. General McChrystal has a new book out titled Leaders, Myth and Reality. I had a chance to sit down and chat with McChrystal, and one of the things I asked him was some of the different challenges that leaders may face now than they did 10 or 15 years ago.
I think it's extraordinarily more complex than it's ever been. And so what happens is leaders often confuse celebrity with leadership or having a mouthpiece for real leadership. And so what they can do is they can reach a lot of followers. They can get people to respond a certain way in anger or joy or that sort of thing. And that is a form of leadership, and I wouldn't deny it. That is getting a connection with people and causing a reaction, almost a chemical-like reaction. But real leadership, or let me put it this way, leadership that I think is truly effective is sustainable over time. It builds other leaders. It develops in populations or groups a set of values, a set of sustainable, consistent commitment to something. And I think that that is sometimes missing in today's society.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1864 when the state of Nevada became the 36th state in the Union. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My guest today is Jackie Melcher, and her company is SSS, which stands for?
Sophisticated Storage Solutions.
Sophisticated Storage Solutions in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Now, you're near where they finally have that all worked out, that chimney rock, right, where they made all those big changes with the roads?
Yes, exactly. It took them several years, but they did it. They moved the railroad track. They moved everything. But it's all good now.
Yeah, we're all good. So give us why don't you give us first your phone number, Jackie?
Phone number is 732-356-4200.
And your address there for Sophisticated Storage Solutions?
It's 7W Chimney Rock Road, and we're in Bridgewater. If you have GPS, it shouldn't be a problem. But our mailing address is Bound Brook. You might have to use Bound Brook.
I know, it's confusing with all that stuff. And then is there a website that people can go to after the broadcast here and take a look at some of your stuff?
Sure. We're at www.sss.com. CustomClosets.com.
Wonderful. Exciting. So I have a lot of questions for you. I've been thinking last night when I'm not sleeping, which is a lot lately, I'll take a little pad by my nightstand, and I'm like, all right, I can ask her this, that, and the other thing. So I had said when we were on break that I wanted to talk to you about the fashion of closets, because I think people are really enjoying the process of doing a renovation on their home now. Maybe the property values aren't where they want them to be, so they're sticking where they are, and then they're just making life easier for them. And storage solutions are really a hot button for people, don't you think?
Yes, they are.
How did that go with you? So people were spending money on their homes and so on. Of course, all of us, 2008, and I will say this about 2008. 2008 for me, up until the fall, was a record year. It didn't start out not to be a good year. It started out to be a very good year for me, as was 2006, 2005, and so on. It was only towards the fall that I started to see some things dropping off and not being as busy. And I said, what's going on here? And then, of course, everything followed suit. I will tell you, and I'm very lucky, I have a lot of things in the fire all the time. It is not the same. People aren't the same. The process is not the same. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I guess I'm not quite understanding the question.
The way people spend money on their home, look at things, I think whether they have the money or not, it is more laborious. It's more decision-making, questioning. It's different, isn't it?
I think they're more knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we mentioned all the reasons. They
right.
go to house, they go to Pinterest, they go to all these things.
The internet changed the world, didn't it?
Right. And they get all these ideas that we can't do.
Right. But it's not just the internet. I think people's, when property values change and people see change in times, there's a psychological effect to that. So I think it's a funny thing how fashion follows what's going on in the world. So after 2008 and that real sophisticated, traditional, rich, kind of masculine look of the times, and the times weren't so good, I think I saw a change. I think that the leaner, more industrial, a little bit pared down, not as dressed up look started to come as part of home fashion. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, I think pared down is a good word for the way things were going for a while.
Yeah. So I continue to work and do stuff, but I saw almost as if it was less celebratory, if that makes any sense to you. And then I was doing things that were simpler. And today I think things are very simple. If you think about window treatments, what people were doing up until, I'd say about 2008, people were doing the most elaborate. I had an account at Scalamandra ordering hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of yards of fabric that was tremendously expensive, and doing a whole house with bills that I can't even tell you what people paid for those things. And they were as elaborate as they possibly could be. But then, those days, that stuff is all being removed, as elaborate as it was. And people are doing simple things again, like, believe it or not, roller shades.
Yeah.
Even with money, solar shades, roller shades, and very, very, maybe a very simple, either a stationary panel drape or a Roman shade, a flat Roman, as simple as possible. So I would imagine with closets that happened as well. People aren't probably picking as much for the most part, but everybody's different, right? Elaborate molding, more of a cleaner look. Do you find that with their picking?
I think it's a cleaner look, but they're mm-hmm. really spending more money.
But they're probably doing it better because there's more into functionality.
Right. There's more available.
Sure. So what are some of the things that you've done recently or that you've done in the closet that you love so much that it was like an aha moment for you? I had an aha moment in my life. I've been in the business for 21 years. When I moved into my last house 14 years ago, I had sort of a layout that I liked for kitchens, basically, and functionality. And then I inherited a house that I didn't build myself. I inherited a house that had a cooktop in the center island. I thought, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever, this ugly cooktop in the center island. And the more I thought about it before I took on my renovation of that space, the more I loved the fact that I could communicate with somebody else and I was a part of the party. And I started to think, you know what? In my last house, when I had people over, I was facing a wall. Who wants to face a wall? Right. And it changed. It made me better. It was sort of an aha moment. And I do a lot of kitchens and bathrooms. In fact, I was in the March issue this year of Design New Jersey magazine for my latest kitchen renovation. And the same thing happened. I talked the homeowner into doing the cooktop in the island, and she absolutely loves it now. Boy, did she fight me on that. And recently she came to our television studio. We did a program called Returning Contemporary to Its Roots. And she said recently that she was glad that she did that. I guess in doing it, you get better and better, right, over time.
I would hope.
What was an aha moment for you? What's something you learned or something along the way that's like, oh, this is how you should do this, or this is a better way of doing this?
I'm not sure that I can really answer that on the spot right now.
Okay.
But definitely one thing that we love in closets is glass.
Now tell me why.
Because it just makes it look so beautiful.
Beautiful, right. Yeah.
But they have to be willing to pay for it.
Right. Well, let's start with some of the different types of closets, because that's a very big thing, too. You know, a closet is as simple as a single door with a small space.
Right.
When somebody has a single door with a small space, I would imagine, and they're not able to expand, it's the system that you create, the closet system that inside that really makes it the best it can be. Now, early on, I saw a lot of wire racks and things that had airflow. Are they still doing that, or are the solid racks preferred? Let's say you have a lot of sweaters, you have one closet, you have a house that was built in 1915, and you have one closet in your master with one door.
Well, you mentioned wire racks. I just want to say we don't do them.
Okay.
We take them out.
Right.
I have to give somebody credit. They tried. They mm-hmm. thought it was a good idea, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't
so
work.
What's so bad about a wire rack?
Well,
that sounds like the title of a book, doesn't it?
I know. Well, first of all, you can't slide your things along. There's no pole. Usually.
Right, right, exactly.
And you put things on the shelf. If it's a pantry, they fall over.
Yeah.
If it's a sweater, as you mentioned, it mm-hmm. gets lines in it. They're
right.
not usually as deep as ours. So basically, they're just, if they don't have sides to them, so mm-hmm. things fall off. So
yeah.
pretty much somebody tried. I give
right.
them credit for trying, but it didn't turn out to be a good thing.
So what do you normally use as shelving within the racks or poles of hanging clothes?
Well, the way closets are constructed,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same way that California closets started in, I think, 70s or 80s,
right.
Is hanging on the wall. You
okay.
hang a rail on the wall. But then, mm-hmm. but the main thing is you have partitions.
Mm-hmm.
And with those partitions, based on the material, you can only go 36 inches. So you're, by definition, partitioning out that closet. So if you take a 6-foot closet, like you were talking about, maybe behind a door, and you have one shelf, one pole, you have 6 feet of shelf and 6 feet of pole. I can take that closet, divide it in three. I can give you
nine
feet of hanging and probably 25 feet of shelving.
Do you find now that because the world is different, the people's storage needs are different? I'll tell you, case in point, what I think. 21 years ago, when people went to work, they dressed. That men wore suits, and women wore suits. Now women wear dresses more, I think. But women wore suits and men wore suits. So you went to the dry cleaners every week to pick up your dry cleaning for the week, and more hanging clothes because people dressed more formally. Today, business casual, I think probably people... Now, it doesn't mean that they don't do it, but I think people dress more casually. Is that true?
It's true, but they're not getting rid of their suits.
Okay. No, not that they're getting rid of their
they're
suits.
They're holding on to them.
But because they're dressing more casually, have the needs of the way storage is done changed? Because the majority of my clothes today are more casual clothes. I have tons and tons of khakis and button-down shirts and so on, and not so many suits and ties and some of the fancier stuff.
Well, it's preference for the storage, because mm-hmm. some of the things that you mentioned you can fold and put on a shelf, but you also can put on a hanger.
You know, it's funny, though, with hangers. I do wear a lot of sweaters these days, thinner V-neck sweaters, which I took off because it's so hot today. When you hang a sweater, it grows. So what's the best storage solution, you think, for a sweater? Is it better to be on shelves or is it better to be hung?
Well, it's a continuous dilemma that I have myself all the time. But if I'm going to hang it, I use a padded hanger.
I have a whole list of hanger questions for you. But let's talk about hangers in general. What is the best vehicle for a hanger? What's the best material for a hanger?
Well, I think for most things, blouses and pants and things that are not sweaters, I think I like the ones I get from the department stores. They give you the hangers.
The wood?
No, the plastic.
The plastic hanger.
The wood-shaped hanger, yes, if you have a jacket or a coat or something.
But right.
For most things, just that plain hanger that you get works just perfectly.
Right. Do people sort of color coordinate when they come to you for closets? Let's say they want to do a white closet. They want all, you know, colored hangers that are, I don't know, some sort of citrus green or color or black. Or do they want to coordinate the stuff that's inside?
We don't actually supply the hangers, but people have very their own preferences of what they like. And
sure.
You see advertised those thin hangers so you can get more in your closet, which I don't happen to think is a good idea because
they're too thin to hold your clothes. Weighted, I think it holds the clothes better and
yes.
So on. All right, we're going to go to our last set of commercial messages and a lot more to talk about on today's Modern Design.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior decorator, contractor, home stager, and realtor for the past 21 years working in the tri-state area on all sorts of projects. I have two locations, one right here in the Hunterdon County area at 176 Route 20231 in Ringo's, New Jersey, right across the street from the motor vehicle inspection station. In northern New Jersey, near the Short Hills Mall, I have another location in beautiful downtown Maplewood Village, and that is 191B, like boy, Maplewood Avenue in Maplewood, New Jersey, next to the train station, with four rooms all set now for the holidays, each one with a different motif, wonderful furniture, accessories, and so on. So to check out my company, Maven Hill Interior Designs, call me at 908 888-384-0770. My guest today happens to be Jackie Melcher, and she was with SSS Closets and in Bridgewater, New Jersey, so local to us. And we're talking about closets, custom closets, the fashion of them, the practicality of them, and so on. I am going to open our phone lines if anybody would like to call in on what's the remaining time of the broadcast. We were having some functional issues, but I think the phone line is clear now. It looks like it's up. Maybe we can get some phone calls in. That would be a good thing. And the phone number here is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. Okay, Jackie, so we were talking about a closet. It's basically a six-foot standard closet and so on. And you were saying that you divide that closet up and you can sort of maximize the storage that way. And then we were talking about hanging things. And I wanted to ask you, what is the best way? Because I think you would know better than anybody to hang certain garments. Now, things like slacks, men's slacks, is there a certain way that you suggest that men hang their slacks?
It really is personal preference, okay. But if you hang it by the waist, you need a different size hanging than you do if
sure.
you're folding it over. So
right.
that's an issue, how much space is available.
Here's something I'm going to tell you, and that's why one of the reasons I brought up that specific question. I'm kind of a clothes horse, and I have a tremendous amount of clothes in my closet. And because I have so much clothes in so many closets, what happens is over a period of time, when you hang a pair of slacks folded over, what happens when you go to wear them?
They have a line.
They have a line in them. So I always wondered, is there a better solution of how I would hang my pants so they flow straight down? So when I'm in a rush in the morning and I have 10 things to do, I can put on a pair of pants that I know were dry cleaned, that they're ready to go, and then they don't have that awful crease in them.
Right. Well, you can hang them by the waist with with clips, but also there are hangers that have a little roundness to them.
Okay.
So you don't get that...
That line.
Right?
Oh, that just drives me crazy.
You're not using the cleaner's hangers, are you?
No. Those, the bendy, no. So that's something that always, concerned me if I could hang them long ways. But then I guess you lose storage in your closet if you hang them long ways.
It just depends on what kind of space you have available.
Do people hang their pants?
Some do and some don't.
Let's talk about jeans for both men and women. Are you better off putting jeans in a drawer, or are you better off hanging your jeans?
I would say folded, and it could be on a shelf. Doesn't have to be in a drawer.
Is it true in general that all clothes, most fibers... So here's the thing. If I'm doing custom window treatments, if I'm doing panels, I know when I hang those drapery panels that over time, just by nature, that those fibers drop. And, if you have clothes, often, especially fancy clothes, you wear them very seldom. So they sit there for a long time. Does that, when you hang something, does that sort of happen to the clothes?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think most clothes are not hanging there that long.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, I guess you should get rid of them.
No, see, that's my problem. Yeah, that's my problem.
But you bring up a good point about, right. Like, ball gowns or something.
Right. Women in particular.
Yeah.
I also think underneath the arms and so on, when you hang a gown... It would just naturally probably grow to some degree, right?
That could be. I never even thought about it.
Yeah. So if somebody is looking, we're going to go beyond to they have a lot of clothes and they want to maximize and they have a space that we talked about, maybe a spare bedroom or opening up a wall. What typically do you do to go beyond the existing space instead of just reinventing the inside to make it bigger? What's sort of the best route to grow a closet a little bit?
Well, we can do several things. I mean, island is the obvious. You can put your drawers and things in the center island.
Mm-hmm.
But we also can build tall in the center. If there's room, you can make like another wall.
Wow.
We can build on the floor and make that tall.
Here's the thing that I think is attractive about an island. I love flat surfaces. So for me in the morning when I'm half asleep, and I do get up very early now, but I'm not very wide awake in the morning when I get up, I like to lay out my clothes and put things together. And often I have public appearances, I'm doing stuff, I'm dressed up. So I like the thought of a flat surface so I can put out my shirt, my tie, my socks, everything, and coordinate it together. So when you go tall, it's great because you have more storage, but you don't have that flat surface. How do you feel about
that? Right. Well, it depends on what your needs are. And for women, it's
10 times harder because there's so much more involved. Yeah. So let's talk about women's needs specifically. And when I think about, and even in my own home, I actually have a dressing room. I have a whole closet room with the system and an island. And there's also, I don't call it that, but it was obviously clearly a built-in for a makeup table with lit with a big mirror, not with the bulbs, but just a big mirror where somebody, clearly a man is going to do his paperwork there, a woman's going to do the paperwork there. It was a sort of a makeup station. Are most people putting that within the closet if they're doing a closet room or a big closet system?
If they have the space, they would like to have it. Not everybody has the space, so you must have a nice big closet to have.
Yeah, no, it is a big closet, but to tell you the truth, I didn't do much with it because it was nice to have a long mirror there, but I never even put a chair there. But I would imagine many women want to put their makeup on there, or maybe not because you in a bathroom, I think you don't want to get makeup on your clothes. So I'm just wondering, are you better served having a makeup table or that in that space as opposed to the bathroom, or is it better off in the bathroom because the surfaces are harder and easier to clean in the bathroom, you know?
I think bathroom is probably the best place for it.
Right.
But again, it's where do you have the room? It might be in the closet. It might be in the bathroom.
Sure, sure. And then we talked earlier about windows in closets. I did see something. I did some research for this, and I went to Google Images and so on, where I saw somebody had a window in their closet, and they did a plantation shutter that matched the closets, and it all was seamless. That looked terrific. Do people ever do that, like a plantation shutter covering the coordinates?
No, it's an interesting idea.
It looks so natural. Yeah, it really looked quite nice. Now, in bigger closet space, was there sheetrock? Do people normally finish paint that out? Do they do wallpaper? Do they any sort of treatments on the walls when they have sheetrock in a space?
Well, we've had a few people do wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a big space, people are going to paint it, and they're going to paint it in an attractive color.
Right.
If it's the 6-foot closet, it doesn't really make big difference.
No, that's true. We're coming down to our last minute, Jackie, and I want to give the information one more time. You do such wonderful work, and we'll talk more when we go to studio to shoot the design for the Times. So why don't you give us your information one more time? You are Jackie Melcher. Your company is SSS
Custom Closets.
Custom Closets, and you are located again?
We're in Bridgewater on Chimney Rock Road between Routes 22 and 28.
Okay, and your phone number?
732-356-4200.
I thank you for being my guest. We had a little challenges today, and you were a trooper, and I really appreciate it. Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you.
USA Radio News.
President Trump had a message for Speaker of the House Paul Ryan regarding the birthright citizenship issue, but out. The president said on Twitter that Paul Ryan should focus on holding the majority rather than giving his opinions on birthright citizenship. Republican Kris Kobach is running for governor in Kansas. He explains his interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
The 14th Amendment doesn't say all persons born in the United States are citizens thereof, are citizens of the United States. It says all persons born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens.
A rare polio-like illness continues to spread across the United States, puzzling health care providers and those who are investigating the mysterious condition. Dr. Nicole Sapphire joined Fox News to talk about the illness.
Kids are getting, they have a viral or bacterial illness typically, and then they're becoming paralyzed. Some are actually dying from it.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Senate candidate and 2012 Republican presidential contender Mitt Romney is pounding the pavement in Utah to drum up support for other GOP candidates on the ballot. Romney holds a comfortable lead over his Democratic challenger and was asked by Fox News what it will be like to be a senator in the Senate that actually doesn't have plans on running for president in 2020.
Yeah, I think I'm the one guy that'll be in the United States Senate if I get there that's actually run for president and not planning on doing it again. And as a result of that, I think I have the freedom to really focus on issues that the people in our state care about, people in our country care about. That relates to our budget deficit, the amount of debt we have, as well as our immigration policies. So there's a lot I hope to be able to do.
ABC's spinoff of Roseanne, The Conners, lost 180,000 viewers last night and was dead last when it came to ratings, behind shows such as NCIS and The Voice. ABC ordered one extra episode to the original order of 10. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.